better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
For all the ladies over the age of 60, boy, do I have a treat for you.
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
That's right, folks. Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated joining us now on the Morning Rush will be with us up until 9 o'clock this morning. Good morning, Clay. How pumped up are you to be sitting alongside the Tommy Kraft?
Well, just ask Tom.
You know when he says he does this dance when you play the John Cena music?
Yeah.
He's not kidding.
Well, why didn't you film it? Should have put that on social media.
I think
media.
It took him by surprise.
It have broke my phone, I'm afraid.
All right, so greatest performance then, Tommy. How was his dance moves?
It wasn't end zone quality, but it was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
But the part where I come over the top ropes and I start pointing to the bleacher seats.
For someone with an AARP card, it wasn't bad.
Well, you got to make sure he's being careful, because if he breaks a hip, then you're going to have to get a workers' comp.
I know it. And he's got to be in Oxford tomorrow, and it'd create a lot of issues.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of problems.
Yeah, some things that we really don't want here on this show. Well, Clay, Arkansas playing Ole Miss tomorrow. I know we've talked about it a little bit with you this week, but now we're heading up right up into it. It seems like every time that these two teams have met in Oxford, crazy things have happened. Crazy games have happened, at least over the few tries. Do you see this game being any different between these two teams?
Yeah, and that's not even talking about what happens in the Grove.
Yeah, that's true.
We're talking about on the field, right? I mean, it's like, you know, I can't get hurt today because Vodka Water Girl is waiting for me, you know, in the Grove. Just, I mean, not for me in particular, but it just, you know, just kind of rolled through there and says, oh, there she is. And there she is. And she's already underneath the table.
Yeah.
This is out.
You've been to all of these places in the SEC multiple times.
Yeah.
Is there one more? Is that number one? What is number one as far as atmosphere and tailgating area?
That's pretty good tailgate, but I mean it's they're hotty totty. I mean it's or hoity toity, however you want to say it. The one I like to go to is LSU, and
you got to wear a hard hat because they'll throw whiskey bottles.
Well,
at
that's in the stadium after the game, whiskey bottle. But when the whiskey bottles are still full 3 hours before,
that's their second bottle.
And you're walking through the tailgate area from the media parking, which media parking is it's the last lot.
Yeah,
I'm sure they've got local media in the closer lot, but they'll just, hey, come on, have a little gumbo, and it will be good.
They
trash talk you a little bit, but then they kind of, you know, hug you and pull you tight. And, you know, it's like, hey, you want some of this? You want some of that? Well, what is it? And he said, well, it could be anything.
Yeah.
It's gumbo.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow it's going to be hot in the Grove.
Yeah.
All day, temperatures in the 90s in the mid-afternoon. How does that affect this game? It's a 6:30 kickoff, so the sun's still going to be up when the game goes off. Obviously, the second half will be a little bit cooler, but it's going to create challenges for both teams and test your depth.
I tell you, it will test the makeup. You know, the makeup will be a little blurred. You know, the mascara will be running a little bit because of the sweat.
That's how you meant the makeup of the team.
I'm talking about Grove. Yeah, you will have to play more guys, especially early when the heat. Now, after halftime, I think the temperature will probably drop into the mid-80s. Won't be so bad. But humidity and heat is going to be quite a bit different. And everybody's like, well, it was hot last week. No, it was only about 83 at kickoff. And while that might seem hot for us, that's not so bad for players in what they went through in August. But this is going to be significant heat. And, you know, the linemen, it's tough on them. And you can't rotate offensive linemen too much. They're going to be out there for the duration. So how they hold up against the pass rush in the fourth quarter, that will be one of the keys. Can you play four quarters and still match your your physical, I guess, top end level. Mm-hmm. And probably you can't.
Particularly week two.
Yep. And, you know, I just wonder if this is a week that, you know, you play Hicks and Starkle a little more evenly. Maybe that's something to keep an eye on and see how that develops.
By the way, Clay, Wesley just tweeted into us, says, is Clay married? Tell his wife to come get her man. Clay should not be allowed in the Grove.
She'll be with me, so it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be it's always a good time there in the Grove.
I'm not a significant threat in the Grove.
he's past his prime.
Place. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
don't,
there's not much potential there for me.
And don't sell yourself short there, Clay. You're a tremendous slouch for sure. So, but you know, with Arkansas and Ole Miss, you mentioned the depth thing. That to me is really what's going to be showcased here in this game against Ole Miss, because not only in the depth of certain positions, like for instance, defensive line with Dorian Gerald being out for the season. You know, Jamario Bell has been going through his own issues. You may have somebody like Mateo Soli who has to step up. So you may be looking at a situation where a lot of these young guys, these young freshmen at different positions, are going to have to be counted on if they're going to be after rotating in and out, especially on defense, because as we saw last week, neither of these offenses looked really polished. So it might be a more of a defensive battle. And if it is, you're going to have to rely on your depth, especially on those lines.
Yeah, I think so. What you said is exactly right, John. And I think you'll see Mateo Soli start, but I think Zach Williams and Colin Clay and Eric Gregory, who had that same ankle surgery that Frank Ragnow had, where you fix the high ankle sprain so it doesn't come back, he's back in the fold and will give you some plays. And I think all those freshmen are going to have to, you know, do a few things. Now, I think Jamario Bell will be back, but with a knee injury, you don't know how long it'll take before, you know, he starts to wear down.
But, you know, with all the injuries we've seen early in this year, a couple of season enders that we saw before the season started, Austin Capps now battling an ankle, Colton Jackson's foot still in right. We know about Dorian Gerald and lost him for the season. It seems like this list is just growing week by week. Should we be concerned about that?
Yeah, I think with this team, the thin nature of it, you can't have a whole lot more. But they've got more players. They've got more, and some of the guys like Gregory will be back. I don't think there's any question Capps will be back from an ankle injury. The guy that nobody's really talking about that's going to get his first start without question, unless Capps has some kind of miracle, Ricky Stromberg. And you know, about 6 weeks ago, he was at 265. And he's up to 285 now, and probably gaining it back. But he's a freaky guy as far as speed, athletic ability, and likes to play after the whistle, as they say.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Your Hog Update.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling, Woo Pig Sue!
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the Big 12 championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Yeah, if you need to get your logo printed on T-shirts, collared shirts to give to employees or to clients, you need a place that has cutting-edge printing and embroidery machines, and they have them at the Ozarks. High-quality designs and graphics on almost any surface, T-shirts, canvas, leather, denim, and so much more. So if you're looking for high-quality printing and embroidery, you can find it now in-house at the Ozarks. Stop by and see their crew and get ready. And don't forget, the holidays are just around the corner. They can get all of those holiday orders handled right now. Ozark Outpost Clothing and Footwear and Ozark Sportsman Supply, just off Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, I thought this was really fascinating that came out yesterday. Nikki Chauvinel of Hogbeat.com is the one that put it out, but apparently Razorback football coaches not be attending any high school games this weekend. All of the focus is completely and totally on Ole Miss. I don't know what impact that's going to have, but you certainly like to hear that if you're a Razorback fan, knowing that the importance is on this game and knowing how important recruiting is to Chad Morris. I thought that was interesting. That's the tactic he decided to take.
Well, I think that's probably appropriate. How long have we been saying this? As soon as the schedule came out, we were like, that's a huge game. And then John is like, he said, it's a more huge game than that. It's huger.
Yeah.
That was exactly what I said. Yes, a huger game. But it is a big deal, and it is a big game. But I'm curious, Clay, did they ever do this last year at any point where they didn't have high school coaches or coaches take any high school visits?
Well, I think there's some periods where it's dead, so yes. But it was, you know, maybe they didn't have any where they could. I think in the 2-10 season, it was pretty obvious they needed to be on the road, guys.
Yeah. So that's probably where most of their focus went to as well.
Ty would say they were trying to garner offers.
Clay, when's the last time you heard me say that on the show?
It was a sad day.
Too recently.
It hasn't been since you said that.
Yeah, but here's one other point.
Well, I give you credit for taking coaching.
One other point about, you know, you've got 52 redshirt freshmen, 52 freshmen on this team, right?
They're 52 out of 85.
Their first time to take a road trip. A lot of these guys, they've been on a road trip with their high school team. They've never been on a road trip like this.
They need
all the supervision they can get.
They need room by room.
Exactly.
Holding their hands.
Exactly. So, you mean, that goes along with being a young team is, hey, we need more chaperones, I guess. So we need
more
the coaches
chaperones.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need the coaches here.
Well, you know, at some point in this trip, they're going to say, are we there yet?
Yeah. So. That to me is one thing that stands. That's just the youth of the roster. You know, I know the coaches need to be there because the focus is on this game. That's the message they want to send. But you also got a young team with a bunch of guys that have never traveled on a college football team before.
John, when you guys are on your trip for the SEC Media Days and going to Hoover, does Ty say, are we there yet, two or three times?
I don't think so. Actually, Ty's asleep most of the time.
He just sleeps the whole way. Helps with none of the driving.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Tommy. I didn't drive back.
Bitter man.
Yeah.
He said that the whole way on. Ty's not going to do anything. I drove back, buddy.
Well, hey, I'm just saying I appreciate
it. I said the way there. I didn't say anything about coming home.
Ty, you're running the bit. You got to quit worrying about being right. You're running the bit.
Hey, hopefully this next time for Atlanta when the SC Media Days, you know, Tommy's going to fly his first class. That's what I heard. That's what he promised me when I was hired, too. So
I think you better go for coach first.
Go aim high, Clay. Aim high and work myself.
First class means leather seats in your vehicle.
Hey, hey, remember, as you say, Tommy, first class time every time. So I'm just taking your words and making them law. That's all I'm saying.
Back to the original question. Yeah, all the coaches need to be there for take care of these youngsters.
Yeah, well, and also, Clay, Mike in Albuquerque, he texted into our Cherokee Casino hotline. He asked a question I was actually curious about, too. Is Chad Moore still traveling to go watch his son play? I know this was a controversial conversation last year, but is he still doing that this year?
I assume he is. I mean, why wouldn't he? I mean, if he doesn't go and they lose, they say, well, way to go, Dad. You broke that string. He's been undefeated. You know, I would want to be there if I was him because that is one recruit that he can kind of hone in on.
Yeah.
I think he was responsible for like 9 touchdowns last week something like that.
Yeah, so earlier this week I was listening to the Will Cain show that's on for an hour between halftime and Ruskin and Zach, and he was talking about being at a Highland Park football game last week. And he said, here we are about 30 minutes before kickoff, and we start hearing this noise, and it's a helicopter. And it lands across behind the stadium on a practice field. It had the big blue star on it. It was Jerry Jones coming to the game, too.
Wow.
So
that causes a stir.
Yeah, it does. But he doesn't drive across town. He flies across town.
That's not like you just seeing the traffic chopper up there.
No.
This is the big
star. He's had a big blue star on the tail. So.
Yeah. I was hoping it would have his face on it somewhere.
So that's Texas football right there.
Yeah.
The owner of the Cowboys arrives to see his grandson play via helicopter.
Well, doesn't Chad Morris have a helicopter too? Doesn't he do that? Isn't that his thing?
They have a helicopter. I don't think it's his. I think he probably rents it.
Yeah. Right. The pork chopper or whatever they ended up calling it. I don't necessarily remember. But, yeah, that's kind of the new thing, I guess, especially in Texas high schools, of flying a helicopter.
Tommy can get us a chopper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tommy,
make life easier.
Tommy needs to get me a new
Fort
chair
Smith.
First.
Well, everybody thinks we got these unlimited funds here.
Fort Smith to Norfolk by the Crow Fly.
Ooh, that'd be time saving right there. Mm, yeah. Take all the curves out of Highway 23.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget the new chairs that we could use in the office. Let's get the helicopter first.
Wait, hey, these are y'all's ideas, by the way.
Yeah, we're ones floating them to you. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Joseph is in Irving. What's going on, Joseph?
Hey guys, how are y'all this morning?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, I had two little tidbits I wanted to talk about from the Portland State game and move on to my one, I guess, cue the game for Ole Miss. The first one was, I think we can all agree our punting was a lot better in the Portland State game, but our coverage on the punts in terms of downing the punt, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we had two punts that were basically hit on like the 5-yard line or 6 and then went into the end zone. Is that right? And we only caught one of them.
Yeah.
Three, basically. I think that's a huge key for us, you know, especially going, you know, you have the opportunity to down the ball on the 5, 6, 7-yard line. Those guys need to learn to just catch the ball. They don't have to have it down on the 1 as opposed to starting on the 25 for Portland or, you know, Portland State, Ole Miss, any of the other teams. That's a big thing that needs to get corrected this week. It's not a hard thing, but that is one thing I really think does need to get corrected because our punters did do a lot better of a job.
It's and a 15-yard mistake. Was,
yeah, absolutely. And then Connor Limper, I think all of us would agree, he probably has one of, probably the 3 or 4 strongest legs in the SEC, and he's a very good kicker. I don't know if it was by design in the Portland State game for him to kick the ball only to like the 5 or 10-yard line, but the one kick he had that went into the end zone was, what, 7, 8 yards deep? Is that right?
That's
something
right.
Something like that?
Yeah.
His goal, to me, in my opinion, this week should be to try to hit the pad pad. I mean, he has got a great leg. He needs to try to kick the ball out of the end zone every time. That is one less opportunity for any team to be able to run a kick back. We saw it last year against Texas A&M. And this year, especially against Ole Miss and some of the other SEC teams we're going to play, you know, they're not going to catch the ball for fair catching on the 10-yard line. That's a gift to them. They're going to try to run that out and try to get score with it. So for him, in my opinion, he's kicked the ball in the end zone every single time. I don't know why he wouldn't. I don't know if that was by design. I don't know if you guys heard anything different on that and why he was doing that, but that's one thing that I really think he needs to do is try to put the ball in the end zone, not give those guys a chance at all.
Well, Joseph, I do know that as far as your kicking thing, there are certain stats because we know that Chad Morse is a mathematic guy. He's a mathematician, if you will. The stats do say, though, that if you kick the football out of the end zone, of course, it goes to the 25. But there are coaches that believe that just looking at stats, that if you kick it at certain places on the field, it's going to save you about 3 yards. It'll get it at the 22, I think, is what the average is. If you kick it at certain places and obviously have your coverage team out there. So that may just be by design for Chad Morris, seeing it as, hey, that's 3 less yards on average that we could give up if we just try to kick it, or maybe we want to cause a fumble. Maybe if we kick it to a guy who's not ready for it. I think that it's probably more of that than just, hey, let's kick it out of the 25 every time and play it safe. That would be my assumption.
Yeah. That makes sense. No. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, my one key to the game this week for us is that it's not on the offensive side of the ball. It's for our defense. It's can our 4 down linemen get pressure? Can we get pressure with 4? What made our defense so good in 2015 was that we could get to the quarterback or at least cause him to be uncomfortable and with 4 guys. Now, blitzing is obviously going to be a key thing for us, but making sure that we can try to get there or at least make him uncomfortable because he was not. I watched every bit of the Ole Miss Memphis game. He was not comfortable from the start of that game to the end of that game. His offensive line was not very good. And Memphis, they did blitz some, but for the most part, they really just brought 4 guys. And that's one thing that Arkansas's got. They got to try to put the fear of God in him every time the ball is snapped, like Austin Allen had a few years ago running around for his life. Other than that, guys, I'm going to the game this weekend. Eddie from Clarksville, if you're listening, I will be in Section 2, Row 35. Come see us, man. We want to ring that bell after the game. Other than that, guys, it's a bad day to be around and go Hogs.
I appreciate the phone call, Joseph. Good points there, especially about the special teams, because you brought up punting and how they had those 2 plays against Portland State that were just, you know, you can't have them, especially in any situation, because Sam Lloyd did his job. You know, people don't realize that, you know, downing that ball at the 1 or at the 2 and the difference between having that or at the 20 or 25, the entire offensive staff has to change their game plan. They automatically, right, because they do this all the time in football, right before they had the next possession, if they know they're lined up for a punt, they got this game plan lined out. They got these plays they want to call. They got all this set up. Well, when that type of play happens, it changes everything. Then they have to adjust, and then they have to completely call different plays. You know that almost every team is going to play it ultra-conservative on that route. I mean, having a play like that or a few plays like that and having a punter that has the ability to do that is going to pay off dividends for Arkansas. And just imagine what those possessions would have been like for Portland State if Arkansas would have been able to down those balls within the five-yard line. It would have been a completely difference maker.
It's free first down you gave them. Number one, you back him up inside the five. Clay, just the pressure it puts on the center to get the snap back right. You know, when you're anytime you're operating around the goal line, there's just extra pressure on the offense to know that this is not the place in the field.
Well, that's a place where the defense can score. A sack is a safety. You know, it's, you know, you can knock the ball loose. It might be a touchdown,
yeah,
but
it's extra pressure.
And they know it, and they actually, that's the play they practice the most. And I think one time the guy looked into the sun and he didn't find the ball. And that's going to happen sometimes, you know, in those afternoon games. But you have two down there and one guy's not looking into the sun. The one on the right side, he definitely was looking in the sun and he couldn't find the ball. So I get it. That's going to happen. They got it one out of three.
This is correctable.
Yeah. And it's in, you know, well, they say practice makes perfect. They'll get better. Now, on the kickoff, if you'll watch Connor Limpert, he's got a strong leg, but he is not consistent on the kickoffs. So that's one of the reasons they wanted to work on their kickoff coverage. And one way to work on it is to make sure that you kick it where they're going to return. Now, they fair caught every one of them. They didn't return any of them. And so you didn't get that work. So they finally was like, all right, let's let him go ahead and kick it. Now, that was the direction the wind was blowing, and that's how he gets 7 yards deep. I don't think into the wind he can do that. He doesn't have that kind of a leg. But downwind, he should be able to put it where they're not returnable.
Yeah. Hey, stop by Crabtree RV. It's tailgating season right now, up to $15,000 off fifth wheels, up to $10,000 off on new travel trailers. And check out the new Catalina with patio. It's only $249 a month right now. Also, their 26,000 square foot indoor showroom has everything you need and all the accessories and supplies you are looking for. And see the new 2020 models from Grand Design and Coachman Freedom Express. They're already there. Crabtree RV in Alma, exit 13 off of I-40, next door to the Cracker Barrel. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
Now, Clay, going back to your point about the kickoff, so do you feel like Chad Morris and this staff is trying to kick it into certain, but they're not trying to kick it out of the end zone every time?
There wasn't any question that they were kicking it for placement last week against Portland State.
But do you think that that's something that they want to continue to do, or would they rather kick it out of the end zone all the time? I guess
they would rather
question.
Kick it out of the end zone all the time.
Never seen a touchback return for a touchdown.
Yeah, ever. They would rather kick it. But they know that, I mean, half of the game you're going into the wind, so you better have another plan. Mm. Well, because they're not going to be able to kick it out of the end zone into the wind. Well, I haven't seen a kicker do that.
Well, because here's the reason why I'm asking, Clay, is because it seems like for the past, my goodness, like is ever since the rules got changed to where the kickoff got moved up, I don't know exactly which year it was, but ever since that point, Arkansas has never, and I mean never, had kicks go out of the end zone consistently. And a lot of times people felt like it was maybe because they didn't have a kicker that had the ability to do it, but it seems like they have a kicker now to do it. So you're saying that it's the consistency out of Limpert that where he can't get it to the end zone every single time on the kickoff? Is that?
Yeah, so, have you been watching?
Yeah, I've been watching, but a lot of it
he can't get it to the end zone every time. He's not consistent. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't.
I know, but you just
better have another plan.
But you just said that they were also trying to work on coverage too. So how do you know which the difference is? Hey, did he actually try to kick it into the end zone, or were they actually trying to work on coverage? Is my question.
Dang, are you listening? He hasn't done it every time for 2.5 years. He doesn't have that kind of a leg. People see it, and it's downwind, and yeah, it gets into the end zone. Into the wind, it lands at the 8. Now, are you listening?
Yes, I am listening. You're not
so
making sense.
So they better have another plan.
Good grief, not making
Good
any sense.
Good grief is right.
Coming out here and just saying nonsense when I'm asking a simple question, Clay.
Why
Good
are you
grief.
Asking it?
Because it doesn't make sense when you've had multiple different kickers. It wasn't just a Connor Limpert issue. You've had other kickers that have had the same issue too. And my question is like, there's times where they kick it to the side, kick it more towards the out of bounds line. They have plays set. So yes, they go with different plans. But my question is that we've seen him though kick it into the end zone.
Not consistently.
Correct. So do they call him to do that, though? Or is he just going out there saying, I'm going to kick it as hard as I can and see what happens?
I don't think he's going out there kicking it as hard as he can and see what happens.
Kind of like when you swing a golf club as hard as you can, it may not stay in bounds. You can't kick it as hard as you can,
Tommy,
because if it goes out of bounds, that's the worst case scenario.
That's a 35-yard line placement.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's another 15 yards.
His consistency on full-out kicks is not there. So if you ask me again, are they trying? I'm going to lay the freaking headsets down, and I'm going back to my house.
Boy, so you're really going to reward me for that then, huh? If that's the case. So you're going to be able to just take off your headphones and not be on the show the rest of the day. That makes my day.
Next thing you know, Ty's going to say Garner, and I'm quitting.
Well, Clay, if that's
all
it takes,
yeah. Garner.
We're gonna make that happen for you, Clay.
Sounds like a check down or something that Peyton Manning would say back in the day.
Good grief. Well, okay, Clay, so first off, don't blow out our speakers like that again. You almost blew yourself out there. So, calm down. Don't start yelling so much. But I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. It's all about kicking it towards the end zone, and if they had the ability to do it, they'd be consistent about it.
Yeah.
My only point, though, is that there are some coaches out there that have been looking at the statistics and have seen that if they don't kick it out of the end zone every time, the average start of possession is right there around the 23-yard line. That's my point as well.
Yeah, he took the headset off.
Oh, he did.
Made him mad.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
And now he's put it back on.
Oh, now he's put it back on.
He's through.
So I was done.
We're spending a lot of time on kickoffs.
Is he still talking about the kickoff?
He has a point, but you're right. The execution's not there.
Consistency is not there, so they it's like do you say kick it off as hard as you can, and then it's like okay, let's see if we can cover them. Let's put it in a spot, and let's see if we can hold them inside the 20. That's what they're doing, John. That's what they're doing.
Do you want to move it to anything else? Are you done with the kickers, or do we need to move on to a different topic? Is that good?
I think we've covered the kickers.
Okay. I've been done for about 8 minutes.
Pretty sure you're done when you started on the show, Clay.
Manning had his second cup of coffee.
Hey, there is no pink in this steak. It is well done.
Yeah, that's what everybody loves to hear. They love to have well done steaks.
Yeah,
there.
Everybody loves a well done steak.
You know what?
Steak.
If they get about 10 chances on kickoff Saturday, we'll talk about it again next week.
I hope they have about 9 touchbacks. That'll make for a great segment here on the show.
Yeah. Well, Justin in Ocala just texted in. He says he wants to hear this conversation during the commercial break. I don't know if you want to hear that conversation, Justin. I don't know. I don't know if anybody wants to hear that conversation.
When we get to the next commercial break, the headsets will be back on Tommy's table.
Yeah, because that's the thing, Clay, is, me and you, we're not in the same spot. And there's no telling what could happen. I mean, we could be seeing something like an Antonio Brown, Mike Mayock thing kind of going on here if you were right here in studio with us. Do you know, have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you'd be hurt.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'd just be hurt.
Overlook the old man's drink.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, I'll still just look at the old man for sure. So
they've always said I had sneaky strength.
Sneaky strength, that's one way to put it. Well, I tell you what, Clay, we'll have to settle this on the field when we do our fence man picks. We'll have to have that go to the rest of the season and see who wins that. That's how we'll settle this whole thing.
I'm coming off the top rope after you.
I'd like to see you actually climb up on a rope. I'd like to see you climb anything, honestly, see how far you can make it. But yes, we'll have that. We'll settle it on the field like men, like respected men that we are. And we'll make it happen there in the fence man picks, because that's going to be coming up next. And right now, it'll be
one man against one boy.
Well, hold on, Clay. First off, if you're going to participate in that segment with the fence man, you actually have to be on the segment. You can't just say, tell Tommy, pick all the favorites. You got to be a part of it. Are you going to be a part of it today?
We're going to hold his feet to the fire here.
I'll do it. Yep.
Okay. All right. So he's going to be a part of it. We're going to have Henry in from the fence man. He's going to be a part of it. We're going to do our picks. We're going to have some games. We're going to have some fun with it as well. And right now, me and Clay apparently are tied at the top. So we both have 2 points, Clay. Henry and Tommy both have 1 point as well. So
we got some catching up to do. So that's coming up. Tyler Wilson scheduled to join us at 8 o'clock. So we'll get some of his thoughts on where Arkansas is at offensively heading into this second game at Ole Miss. So that coming up in about 23 minutes or so.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
The give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Clay and I, if I'm going to use proper English, because I know Clay would call me out on that. Clay and I have the lead. We got two of the four rights. I had picked Oregon correctly and Alabama correctly, and Clay did the same thing. So those were the two that. So we both had the same ones there. Me and Tommy and Clay, we all had Arkansas, but Defense Man was the only one that picked Portland State. He didn't pick them to win, but he picked them to cover the spread. So they did do that. So you got that point there, the fence man, Henry. And Tommy got the total yardage for the Arkansas-Portland State game right. I was 5 yards over. Just brutal, brutal Price is Right rules that were playing there on the total yardage. So there's a recap of it. We'll see who can separate themselves this weekend. So without further ado, let's jump right into the fence man picks.
Fenceman Friday Football Picks. Call the Fenceman for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fenceman. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, let's jump right into it. I'll tell you what, Clay, I'll let you go first. Just remember that this is a shorter segment, so keep your answers quick and to the point. We'll start with Arkansas and Ole Miss. Ole Miss is favored by 6.5 points. In this game, as of right now, Clay, who are you going with?
I'm not on the fence on this one. It's Arkansas.
It's Arkansas all the way. All right, Tommy, what about you?
I'll take the Hogs and the points. It's going to be a close game, so, I mean, Hogs and the points.
Hogs and the points, all right. Henry, what do you got? Hold on a second. We'll get right up to the mic for us right there. Hold on a second. Try it now.
I'll go with the Hogs.
There we go. All right, go with the Hogs. Yeah, all right, so you got the Hogs there as well. All right, I will also go with the Razorbacks. I think that even if they don't win this game, they'll at least get and be close enough. I think I have 28-24 in my actual picks in Hogs Illustrated, but we all are going with Arkansas to get the victory over Ole Miss. All right, let's go with the other big game this weekend, or one of the big games, Texas and LSU. Henry, I'll give you this one. Who are you going with? LSU is favored by 6.5 points in this game.
I'm going to go with LSU.
LSU? Yeah. LSU. Okay. All right. Simple enough. LSU winning by at least a touchdown. Man, this one's been tough. I'm going to go with Texas. I don't know why. I just have this feeling in this game in Austin. It's going to be all hyped up, and I think Texas is going to get the victory, and everyone's going to start screaming, Texas is back, just like they always do anytime Texas gets the victory. So give me the Longhorns. Tommy, who do you got?
Can I root for a natural disaster? Texas and LSU? I mean,
it's brutal, I know.
Oh. Texas at home, I think LSU wins. It's close. Give me Texas and the points, but LSU to win.
All right. Clay, what do you got?
Well, I had this feeling too, but it's gas, and it's caused by Texas, and I'm going with LSU. I'm pulling for LSU in this one.
But you're holding your nose while you do it?
I mean, yeah, and I want Texas to lose, and then I want them to lose, and then I want them to lose. Yeah. And I hope there's some kind of bacterial infection, and, you know, I'm teasing.
Man, yeah, not really.
Getting daunting there, yeah. Okay, so I think we all can agree that we don't want anyone to win this game, but somebody has to win the game, so we'll lock those in as well. Okay, so the other big game in college football dealing with another SEC team is Clemson and Texas A&M. Clemson, it's in Death Valley, is favored by 17 points. A lot of points there for Clemson. And I'll just go ahead and kick it off. I'm going with Clemson. Give me Clemson. I think they blow out Texas A&M. I don't think it's close. I think from the very get-go, it's all Clemson all the way. Give me the Tigers. I'll go with them. Henry, who do you have?
I agree.
You're going Clemson?
I'm going Clemson.
Going Clemson.
Yeah.
All right, Clemson to get 17 points at least of a margin of victory. Clay, who do you got?
I got Texas A&M. Okay. I think they'll cover. I think it's a lot of points, and I think that this is probably a spot where they're going to lose, but they'll cover.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Tommy?
Yeah, I'm with Clay. I think they've spent a lot of the offseason getting ready for this game. It was close last year under similar schedule circumstances. Clemson wins at home, but it's by like 7 or 8, 10 points, something like that.
Tommy, are you saying the Texas A&M went vanilla against Texas State in their first game?
I'm just saying they've I'm just saying they've spent a lot more of their focus on Clemson than Texas State, and I think they'll be ready for Clemson to keep
it
close.
They weren't vanilla, they were swirly.
There you go. All right, so the final, our little bonus question here, since this is going to be a game where nobody knows what's going to happen, we're going to go ahead and set it up to where we are going to try to predict the total points scored in the Arkansas-Ole Miss game. Henry, how many points are scored in this game?
Oh, man, that's tough. Total points.
Total points between both teams. Total points.
I'm just going to spitball here.
Okay.
I'm going to say 35.
35? Hey, not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all. Okay, Henry says 35. Clay, how many points get scored in this game?
33.
33. All right. Going with that route. Tommy?
42.
42. Okay. Pretty fair. Pretty fair. All right. I will go ahead and, I don't know, I'm gonna play Price is Right rules. I'm going to go 45 points here, just a little above Tommy, right there at 45. I'm hoping that's the case because that'll be a much more entertaining game if there's a lot more points scored. So, yeah, just Ty, give us a recap of all everybody, that make sure that we got them all correct.
All right, Clay's going with the Hogs, LSU, A&M, and 33 total points. Sean, you're going with Hogs, Texas, Clemson, and 45 total points. Tommy, you got Hogs, Texas, A&M, and then 42 total points. Henry, the fence man, you got Hogs, LSU, Clemson, and 35 total points.
All right.
I need a clarification.
Oh, geez.
On the, what do you mean?
Just go ahead.
Just a simple question.
All right.
So on the total points, what's the rule? You can go over, but you can't go under?
Price is Right.
It's Price is Right.
I'm asking what they are.
Yeah, you can't bust.
I never played Price is Right. Never watched it. No.
Closest without going over.
Yes. It was going to be, having to trotting out the pets and save the pets, all that stuff.
You've got the lowest, right?
Yeah. So if it's anything below me, I get it, right?
No, if it's anything below you, you bust. You go
then
over.
I go with 1 point.
Yeah, $1.
Okay, so you're going to go with 1 point.
$1. Yeah.
So anything between there.
Just say $1, Bob.
Since I'm the low guy.
Just say $1, Bob.
$1, Bob.
There you go. All right, now we know what you need.
All right, so I'm going with 1 point. All right, so are we all good with that? Are we all locking it in?
Lock it in.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Really excited to have this guy back in on the show with us. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in former Razorback quarterback, great Tyler Wilson. Tyler, it's been a while, man. It's good to have you back on. How's life been treating you, my man?
Man, it's good. Good. Good to hear everybody. Good to hear everybody on your side as well. And I know we got a football season kicked off here, so you guys are kind of back in the saddle. I know the other sports carry the weight, but nothing like football. So. Everybody's back in the zone.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And I want to start right there with you, Tyler, because a lot of people have been trying to make sense out of that game against Portland State for Arkansas. Some people saw it concerning, other people.
Deep, 7 yard.
One for Arkansas against Portland State. What did you make out of that?
Well, first of all, you know, it's the first game of the season, and typically when you play one of these opponents, a lesser opponent, that they're going to come at you with a lot of unorthodox looks and some different things that maybe you didn't even prepare for. And you really, on both sides, you don't know what to prepare for. You know, Chad Morris has said over and over again that it, you know, this was a very vanilla game for them. But I was honestly, you know, I'd had an expectation that Arkansas was going to run the board with them. And that was not the case, so probably a little bit of a surprise from that aspect. And I think if you had to just gloss over the execution portion, nowhere near what I think a lot of people here in Arkansas expected in terms of the product and in terms of execution and being crisp. And so a lot of work between week one and week two, and here we are at the end of week, the first week of college football, and we got an SEC opponent ahead of us who's also struggling. So an interesting matchup here moving into week two.
Tyler, I don't know how many practices you went to, you know, in the camp. I know, you know, players had access to it, former players had access to it that the media didn't have. But I'm interested. I think a lot of our audience be interested into knowing what you think about the quarterback battle. And Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle got to see both in game one. What's your opinion on this quarterback battle right now between these two?
I really hoped that, you know, with what we saw last year, you know, in the first three or four ball games, indecision in regards to who was going to play quarterback wasn't what anybody enjoyed watching or being a part of. And so you hope that they settle on a decision and you have a guy sooner rather than later. But both guys, I mean, Vin Hicks, a guy they're familiar with. They've said that over and over again. Obviously, the familiarity back to SMU. Starkle, you see the upside and get another year with him. And so from a development perspective, I think Chad Morris, Joe Craddock, maybe more so Chad Morris, thinks maybe Starkle's the guy. You know, I look at when they implemented Starkle in the game against Portland State, very interesting. It wasn't at the start of the drive. Well, it was the start of the drive, but it wasn't at the 20-yard line going out. It was at the 18-yard line going in, and they dial up a play, which is a pretty aggressive pass play, throw the ball, you know, down the middle of the field, you know, and unfortunately you get a forced error there by Starkle and an interception, which, you know, to me it seemed like Chad Morris was putting him in a position there where he throws a touchdown, an aggressive play call, and then everybody's chanting Starkle's name for the rest of the day.
Speaking with Tyler Wilson on via the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on the Morning Rush. Tyler, I want to ask you about this whole vanilla thing. Does this rub people the wrong way when Chad Moore said that they went really vanilla with the offense, very base offense against Portland State, and that may have been some of the reasons why it was not looking so polished and pretty as what people have hoped? When you were playing at Arkansas, was there something to be said? Like, what does it mean to be vanilla? And if there is something to be said about it, what did vanilla mean to you as a quarterback in your offense when you were playing at Arkansas?
You know, I think when you're coaching, and I've never coached for a living, I've played for a bunch of guys that coached for livings, and I was able to pick up on their mentalities from time to time in the game plan virtually week to week for over 5 years in college and then, you know, in 3 years in the NFL. And I watched how we prepared for preseason games in the NFL. I watched how we prepared and was very involved in that at Arkansas. And you know, I saw a team from the Big Sky Conference come in here, Portland State, with some with players that virtually were not recruited at all, and they lined up across from us, man-to-man coverage with the safety in the middle. And I was surprised that we never tested their athletes one-on-one down the football field on a man-to-man coverage go route. You know, there was no balls thrown over 35 or 40 yards down the football field where you can let a much more recruited player, three or a four-star player, go up against a guy that virtually was unrecruited to make a play to try to at least ignite and separate yourself early in the football game. I'm good with vanilla, but I'm also good with beating Portland State by a good amount and making your fan base feel comfortable in the direction of the program. So, you know, those are things, you know, to me watching, it was almost insulting that the team was coming in. I would feel insulted if I was playing that somebody's coming in playing, feeling like they can play me man-to-man coverage and us not take advantage of it.
Morning Rush brought to you in part by Williams Tractor, who has the nonstop workhorse for your nonstop world with the PowerStar utility tractors. Six models to choose from, 64 to 117 engine horsepower. See them for yourself at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers. So we're talking about deep shots down the field. What do you think about these young wide receivers and the mismatches, Tyler, that they could create throughout this year? What are you seeing in this young talent at wide receiver versus last year where Arkansas was at wide receiver?
Well, I wish I could tell you more. I get up every day and go to work, so I'm not there at the facility. And I wanted to see a lot of that on Saturday. Unfortunately, nobody did. You know, what you hear is that you're much more talented. What you see is you've got a little more speed and you've got some physicality, but I hadn't really seen anybody make a play after a catch. I hadn't seen anybody get yards after a catch right now. I haven't seen that real explosion in a game setting. I'd hope to see it, you know, 10 times on Saturday. you know, and again, back to vanilla, I'm not going to keep harping on this, but I do think, you know, hey, there's some bit of vanilla that's reverses, trick plays. I mean, I get not unveiling a lot of the stuff that you've got in store for SEC opponents, but, you know, letting your players, letting some of these young wide receivers that you're talking about run one-on-one go route, that's not exposing, or that's not showing anything that you're pulling out of your hat. So, you know, I hope this weekend that we can see what you're talking about, Tommy, that we've got some young players that can go up and make plays and compete one-on-one with other SEC talent.
Tyler, it's Clay. You know, that was the question that I asked after the game, and I was curious to the pre-snap look, which looked like man-to-man, which is what Portland State played last year. And Chad Morris and Joe Craddock and quarterback all said that the pre-snap look was to call the go route, and the post-snap look is that they rolled their safeties back, and they had two safeties over the corners. And the play was a check down, in that they were not playing their, you know, their strong safety looked like he was playing run, and they rolled him post snap back into the middle of the field, which called for the run, and that's why they ran for 200 yards. And they probably, in hindsight, wished that they would have gone ahead and enforced some go routes. But they knew they'd be forcing them into, you know, two high safeties, you know, the cover two look. And that was not the way they played last year. They played almost all man, but they flipped that around and played almost all zone and played their middle linebacker 8 yards deep. And it sure looked like they could run in the alleys and with how they were set up. And so, you know, maybe they messed with their rules a little bit. And I think you probably understand that terminology.
You hit it on the head, and again, not every look for the entire game was man coverage, and that makes total sense, Clay. Their pre-snap was press coverage on the outside with the safety in the middle, and so it looked like man-to-man coverage with the safety. And then there was a good portion of that where they would disguise that and go into a zone coverage, some with two safeties, and they would roll to it in a funky look, or they'd roll to it with almost a cloud, where it'd be cover three. So they were showing man and rolling to zone, but you know, there were also even in cover three, I mean, it's not a great look to throw, you know, go balls in or deep balls in, and I'm sure with you know, the options that the quarterbacks have in this offense, you've got to be able to read pre and post snap.
You got
and pre snap. You know, pre snap tells you that, hey, this is man to man coverage, I might have a chance to throw a go ball here. And then post coverage, they're rolling in the zone, and you know, it's telling you rule wise, I got to hand this ball off. And that's what's interesting though, is they were playing this zone and they were dropping another guy in, which made running the ball somewhat difficult. And so it was probably, you know, if I'm applauding Portland State, a pretty good game plan, knowing Chad Morris's system and knowing what the quarterbacks were reading and giving us kind of a funky look that we were not prepared for. So, I mean, if that's the way you look at it, maybe you give an applaud to Portland State and you have that. You know, I go back to some of the early games that I played in, Louisiana Monroe upset us in Little Rock. I didn't play the back half of that game, but the first half of the game where they ended up knocking me out and I had a concussion, they were giving some very, very unorthodox looks that totally messed with our rules and assignments. And, you know, that it takes a half to try to figure that out. And you can really do one of two things as a coaching staff when they're messing with your rules. You can say, all right, guys, we're going to force stuff. We're going to do stuff we don't practice. We're going to make adjustments against what we coach every day, or we can just say we're going to run what we do, and it might not look pretty, but we're a better team than them, so we're going to find a way to win.
Speaking with Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, great here on the Morning Rush via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Tyler, I also want to ask you about the tempo, because I feel like this might be a misconception from a lot of fans when they hear about Chad Morris of all about tempo, tempo, tempo. they haven't really been able to see any of the fast-paced, hurry-up, no-huddle, full-tilt boogie type of offense where not necessarily just the play calls themselves, but getting up to the line quickly, not doing the huddle, just making these plays get really fast and try to get the defense off of their toes. Is that something that also is going to be, I mean, is it going to take some time to get to that point where you're a little surprised that we haven't seen much of that yet, or is that something that's part of the vanilla package? I know we keep bringing it up, but the vanilla thing where they didn't want to go too fast, they wanted to scale that back a little bit as well.
Yeah, you know, I think, again, it's and Clay, having you on the show this morning is so valuable, and I enjoy communicating with you about that, and Tommy and John are in a great spot to continue this conversation this morning. But you know, I think the vanilla aspect of it, you've had 2 years with Chad Morris. The first year you had Cole Kelly and Ty Story, of which you were working with and trying to teach the offense. Both those guys are no longer in the program. You've had new guys come into the program with Starkle and Hicks. And although Hicks is familiar with the offense, he's still in reboot mode. I'm not sure that Chad Morris is still where he wants to be with this thing, with as much turnover as he had, a year ago, in terms of, where we're at in terms of install versus where we're at last year. We're much further along, but still nowhere near what he'd probably like to be. And so when I think of the go fast mode, you're wanting to try to run what you have good before you go super fast. But I would say if we don't see it this week, I'm curious to know when we will see it, because that's 90% of how to run this system really, really good is going fast and making sure the defense is not prepared and they're not aligned and you catch them off guard. That's the beauty of the spread no huddle system.
Yeah, Tyler, I think that one of the reasons, and you'll get this, everybody thinks it's the quarterback that is the key to going fast. The key is for young wide receivers to know how to line up, make sure their splits are right, they're taking advantage of what the defense is aligned in with getting their splits right. And then the constant shuffle that they've had in the offensive line, I mean, you can only go as fast as those guys can pick up, all right, who's there, I've got to block this guy, what are the protections? And I think that's what's slowing them down more than anything. And I mean, there ain't any question that Hicks and Starkle can go fast.
Do they have five linemen that can play eight plays in a row?
Yeah, I mean, it's like are they getting their calls down? Well, and do they understand the calls? And, sometimes you can see they're looking back at the quarterback and then they're looking at each other and then they're redoing their calls. That might not be the right terminology, but getting set up front and making sure they're not going to turn somebody loose, I mean, that'll slow a quarterback down. You never liked to be on your back, did you, Tyler?
Clay, and you'll probably relate to this. I came in with, it was in my junior year, I came in with a bunch of guys, a bunch of wide receivers that were familiar, some offensive linemen that had played a lot. And we'd break the huddle or no huddle, and I felt very confident that we knew what we were doing. And every player on the field felt that or knew that. And that's one thing. And then my senior year was a very different story. I broke the huddle, and there was a lot of eyeballs that were kind of wondering, is this the right side of the field I'm supposed to line up on? And there, there were some housekeeping things that had to go on there that were made from a quarterback perspective, made you feel a little uneasy. And when you're trying to go fast and you've got young players on the field, it's hard for a quarterback to feel very confident, one, and hard for everybody else to feel confident because the brain's running at about 100 miles an hour, and you're about 75% sure you're doing the right thing, and that's not a good situation to be in. And I think all these young guys are trying to absorb that information again beyond just Ben Hicks and Starkle. It's these wide receivers and it's the offensive line, and one of the things offensive. From an offensive line perspective that I've seen is it's a really vanilla with protections. I mean, they're pretty, we're not super sophisticated. We're scan protection, allowing the running back to come back and pick things up. So We're not changing a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage. We're making it pretty vanilla, but especially the wideouts. I think that's one of these things with as much that's involved in this offense. There's a lot of people that have to understand what's going on at a high level and in order to play real fast.
Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Tyler. I'm sure we'll be having more conversations with you as the season goes on. Enjoy your weekend, man. We'll catch up with you, all right?
Yeah. All right. Let's go get a win.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, simple as that. Just go get a win.
Hey, if you don't have TV all set up for tomorrow night, or maybe you're heading out to Deer Camp in a few weeks and you know you want to be able to watch all your favorite football games and watch the Razorbacks when you're on the go, you need a new tailgater unit from World of Wireless. Right now they have several refurbished models that they've got that are under $100 a month, and they've got all the latest in the tailgater portable satellite system technology as well. Check all of that out at World of Wireless. TV on the go. It only weighs 8 pounds. It's easy to set up, and it takes all the hassle out of a dish and L&B and trying to align that at your tailgate. 877-305-DISH. That's 877-305-3474 for World Wireless.
That was really fascinating, his comments about the vanilla offense and the type of style and strategy that they were trying to do. It seemed like he fully understood it and felt like that, you know, it's something that's completely understandable from this coaching staff as well.
Yeah, I wanted to throw this in. We're working on this high school book project. Tyler's one of the all-time quarterbacks on our team. And, I mean, it's not a first team, second team, third team, but he was a really easy pick from back in those Greenwood days. And you know, Tyler is one of my favorites. I mean, it's just I just had so many good experiences sitting and talking with him. And his dad, Don, you know, sometimes we'd be at practice and we'd gravitate, and then all at once – you know, we're talking about fishing. Good fisherman there.
Don's an old college basketball player himself.
Yeah, yep. I mean, and he was a dandy. I mean, tough and I think he told
me. He looks like an offensive lineman.
Yeah, and every once in a while, Tyler would tell me stories about the way he was raised, and that's like, yeah, he's a pretty tough dad.
Yeah.
Tyler turned out pretty good with whatever Don gave him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.